My name is Wilfredo Ángel Ruiz. I was born with that name. Now people call me Wilfredo Amer. I'm a Puerto Rican-born attorney and chaplain. Something happened in my life in 2003 that changed it. I embraced Islam. From that point on, my life has taken many turns to unexpected places with unexpected duties, catering to unexpected people. And right now, I'm on my way to meet a good friend. And I'm excited because it's one of the few times out of those hundreds of times that media have interviewed me that is a Muslim media. So believe it or not, I'm kind of nervous. I'm used to any news, national, international, and local news to interview me. And now it's just a friendly Muslim media, and perhaps it gets me more excited than the regular international news outlets and things like that. So I'm excited to meet Brother Eddie. He's waiting for me in my office here in Sunrise, South Florida. And I hope this goes well. I believe you're all going to enjoy this.
This is the
DJ. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you doing?
Peace be with you.
Alhamdulillah. Nice to personally meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Ohala.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's the same thing. Ohala, inshallah.
Yes, yes.
How do you say peace be with you in Spanish?
La paz sea contigo.
La paz, huh?
La paz.
La paz.
Sea.
Sea.
Contigo.
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 I think they figured it out already. You're Boricua.
I am. Very nice to have you here in Florida.
Nice to be here with you. So now that we've broken the ice a little bit, tell me, so you were an attorney back in Puerto Rico.
Yes, yes.
And then from there, the story went on to you being an attorney here.
Exactly.
Fighting for Muslims' rights.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a long journey, but I'm here. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. Yes, I'm blessed. In 2003, after some search on what religion should I educate my children with, one day I was driving in a city called Vega Alta in the suburbs of San Juan, and I observed an Islamic center that you can see in a hillside from the expressway. And I said, I'm going to learn about Islam. And that was end of 2002. Early 2003, January 2003, I embraced Islam. In that same Islamic center, I pronounced my Shahada.
Tell us your life before.
I got educated in a Catholic school most of my life, from first to middle school.
Yeah.
On high school, I went to a public secular school.
Yeah.
But yes, I was raised Catholic. Most of my family is Catholic, although not all. But very practicing Catholics. My brother is, my mother was, and my sister, they're practicing Catholics.
Describe for our audience, what does it mean to be like a practicing, typical day of a practicing Catholic in your family?
Most of Christians that are considered as practicing, they attend the weekend service.
Yeah.
And if you're Catholic, you participate in the sacraments. You take the Eucharist or you go and confess your sins. There are some called sacraments that are some core practices of your religion that if you're a practicing Catholic, you will do. Non-practicing Catholic is when you abandon those practices and no longer relate to a particular church, but you still hold some of the beliefs of Christianity, or you consider yourself Christian, right? Because that's how you got educated, even if you don't practice it.
Yeah.
You normally approach the church then for extraordinary events, a wedding, a baptism, or a funeral. And the same happens in all religions. There are people that adhere to the practices of their religions, and they're practicing, in our case, Muslims, that then we'll do the five daily prayers, we'll fast in Ramadan, we aspire or go to and perform Hajj. And that is something that just naturally came in to me after me becoming Muslim. I got passionate about learning about Islam when I first embraced Islam. Mm. I wanted to learn it more than what it was being offered in the Islamic centers and I wanted to have some academic instruction on Islam. So yeah. I shortly after embracing Islam in 2003, like in 2004 or 5, I started a program in the Hartford Seminary. It was a master's degree program on Islam and Christian-Muslim relations. And I was also, at the same time, hoping that they will pay for the studies, but they did not. I reconnected with an old institution that I was connected before. When I was an attorney, in my early years as an attorney, before embracing Islam, I joined the Navy in their JAC Corps. So the Navy have different corps for dentists, for professional corps. They have a corps for attorneys. And I joined that, and I worked as a active duty in the military as a Navy JAG. I was a defense counsel. After that, I went to my private practice, and then when I encountered Islam, I thought, hey, the Navy was paying me as a JAG. Perhaps if I get a professional degree in Islamic studies, they may pay for my studies or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I reconnected with the Navy, and I joined them, and I again was sworn in what they had a program called the Chaplain Candidate Programs Officers Program, the CCPO. So while you're studying in the seminary, you are in the chaplain corps as a seminarian, mm-hmm. right? So I had the opportunity to join the Navy while doing my studies on Islam. This time, as one of the few in the chaplain corps, because in the whole fleet, there were only 4 Muslim chaplains back then. So I was very privileged to hold that, to be in that corps of very few Muslims who were catering. The interesting thing is we catered to Muslims and non-Muslims when you're serving in the armed forces. So that was in a snapshot where how my life changed within being an attorney to becoming a chaplain and start incorporating Islam in my life, because these opportunities, the one in the Navy and one that I have soon after to work as a chaplain in the immigration detention centers, first in Puerto Rico and later here in Florida, it was working with Christian institutions, but I presented myself as a Muslim chaplain, and they did hire my services to direct the religious services program in those centers.
Let's go back a little bit, because here a lot of people are going away from religion, or some people say, "I believe in God, but I don't want to follow any organized religion." Mm-hmm. How was the temple at that time? You coming up, from your young adult years, and a lot of times I can imagine, you got the Latin music and now the songs are filled with, chasing this and that and the bling bling. I don't know if they call it.
It wasn't the bling bling back then. It was a little older that generation. But yes,
But what was it that had you, strike a chord that you started to go down that route that you're now thinking more, thinking more about purpose of life? Why am I here? Why have I been created? These really important questions that a lot of people, they're so tuned into the song and they're numb to all the reality of these type of things, important things that we should be thinking about.
You know, Eddie, when I first started visiting the Islamic centers and I heard those first dars, first lessons on Islam.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I was listening to the discussions of Tawheed, the concept of God, it was something that it was not new for me. It was something that when I first heard and listened to people talking about Tawheed and how that is essential to our faith, that is the essence of our faith. That naturally resonated to me. Why? Because when I was Christian, I always truly never was convinced, never I received an adequate explanation or on the concept of the Trinity. That what is known in Christianity is triune, 3-in-1, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That concept, when I had that first exposed to of what this means in Islam and the importance of it, and how believing in the one God is really what our faith is about. the rest are what falls from it. Mm-hmm. And to discover that that was the essence of a religion, and that the essence of that religion, that belief, was something that I naturally believed in, that God was one, the creator. I perfectly fit. Nobody ever needed to try to explain me in Islam the concept of the one God. When it was exposed to me, and this is our teaching, and I was taught that, I didn't have any questions. Because I said, this is what I have always truly believed God was.
Un Dios.
The creator,
how
one God.
How you say in Spanish?
Un Dios.
Un Dios.
Un Dios. La ilaha illallah. Un Dios.
Yeah. And that's not broken up into parts like a trinity. That's
just one. And I found that in Islam, the reason and our heart perfectly conjugate, perfectly get along. Ours is not only logical religion. For example, to believe that something or someone that you believe is God could suffer thirst or hunger, or to be born one day, or die for 3 days, or being offered something as a temptation by your creation, because even the shaitan is your creation.
Yes.
So what the shaitan is going to offer you, his creator, to tempt you.
That's a good point, yes.
So all those things quickly had an answer when I embraced the thought and the belief of the Tawheed, of the one God.
The pure monotheism.
The pure monotheism, yeah. Because it's truly logical. You say, God can never be bored. God is the owner of everything. What can he be offered?
Can he be offered? You can't offer God.
Anything. He's the owner of everything. So, or be born, or suffer hunger or thirst, or offer a sacrifice for his creation, as is the creation was superior to him. Mm-hmm. While in Tawheed, there's nothing higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our belief that Allah is the highest is essential. So you cannot put the highest offering something to his creation. Mm-hmm. It is the contrary. His creation should be offering sacrifices on his behalf. Should creation be offering acts of gratitude to them? The creation should be offered the worshiping to him. There's nothing for him. It's just the blessings and the barakas and the mercy as he wants to extend it to humanity.
When you learn this, obviously this makes sense. This is very logical, that mm-hmm. God is not his creation. He's the creator of creation, that you worship only the creator, not the creation. When you're sharing this now with your family, what are they saying? Because they're practicing Christians.
There were many reactions. Mm-hmm. From being very welcome as a new teaching in my inner circle, my children, my family, inner family, it was okay. I didn't went back home say, this is what everybody needs to start believing. That's good. So I did explain what is it that I embrace and what is this religion about. The same happened in my mother's realm, right? My mother, her husband, my stepfather. For her was hardest because she was a practicing Christian that had leadership positions in her church. Christians normally go once a week to church. My mother will go every day. Mm. So it's a little atypical Christian. Not every Christian, not even the majority, or half of them, goes every day to church as my mother used to do. And she took other leadership positions as well and within their church, and she was very active. She wanted us educated as Catholics. She sent us to Catholic school. Yeah. So for her, it was hard for some months. I can gladly tell you that after some months, there were a Christmas season where I received a sajda, a Muslim prayer rug, as a Christmas gift from my mother. Mm-hmm. So that tells you the level of acceptance that she finally embraced, to the level that her gifts were to encourage me to be even more profoundly involved with my faith. Mm-hmm. So it evolved. The inner core of friends were there. They knew that there were other practices now that I probably will not join them as I used to. But the inner core, I can tell you, they were always there. There's others that people call friends that are that an outer core of friends, that they were just acquaintances of your entertainment, yeah, right? Or other circles, right? And those are quickly disappear. It has been something very, how can I explain you, Eddie? From the first time I learned in that mosque about Islam, I became fascinated by Islam. It was natural for me to want to seek more knowledge and seek it in a seminary. It was natural for me to be a voice for Islam. Back in Puerto Rico for many years, I was a regular columnist in the main circulation newspaper. All my columns were about Islam and the practice of what we Muslims do.
So you accepted Islam and then you started writing in the Puerto Rican newspaper about Islam? How was that taken by your readers?
Oh, I received the love letter saying, hey, I'm not Muslim, I do respect your religion of what I'm learning about it. Yeah. From another's insulting letters, right?
Yeah.
It all started with me offering, as I was attending the seminary, a talk to the editorial board of that newspaper saying, well, I'm visiting Puerto Rico during my breaks from the seminary. I'm more than willing to give you a talk to all the journalists for free about what is Islam. And, you know, back then, we had already wars going that got the interest in the bad way on Muslims. It was 2003, 2004. Mm-hmm. Fresh from September 11. So I can tell you that most of Puerto Ricans were very welcoming on the information.
Yeah.
They were either misinformed by ignorance or intentionally misinformed by Catholic schools who intentionally misinformed on who, especially older practices. Now I see a more, especially in the recent 15 years, openness for knowledge about Islam by people of all religions. They really welcome and they come to my school and speak about Islam or come to my college and speak about Islam. But when that happened, I gave that talk to the journalists that morning. It was like a 2-3 hour talk. Normally these talks take, the director later told me, an hour. And I was already there two and a half past 2 hours. And the journalists were asking gazillion questions about our deen, about Islam and the Muslim faith. Because remember, most of them touch Islam tangentially because it's the religion of something, or because it's the religion that practice some kind of people, some people from this, where we have a conflict in Iraq or Afghanistan. But as a religion, when they had the opportunity to hear what is it our beliefs, that what are our practices, the status of our family, our mom, our women, our men, our children, our responsibilities as Muslims. When they started learning about that, they really got a super interest. There's a thirst for people to know Islam, not necessarily because they're looking for a spiritual path. People are very curious about Islam, especially since September 11 to this day. You will not find a single issue of a newspaper that doesn't mention the word Muslim or Islam somewhere in the newspaper, for good or for bad. It's a constant in our culture now. And even though it is a constant, a lot of people admit they're very ignorant about the faith. So these opportunities, this really opened me, opened our community, the Puerto Ricans, perhaps a window to what is Islam. And there were some issues that were more controversial, for example, when we were discussing the Palestinian rights and how their rights are violated in Israel. Obviously, those are contentious statements, not only in the United States, from everywhere in the Caribbean where you raise it, right? They are easily misconstrued, right? And that was something that, after many years of writing in the paper, they even called me on recent years, hey, could you please, as a guest columnist, write about again about the Palestinian conflict, mm-hmm. because media knows there is a vacuum of information when it comes to the rights of Muslims in Palestine, to the rights of Muslims in China, the Uyghur Muslims, to the rights of Muslims, the Rohingya Muslims, to the rights of Muslims that reside in Russia, and the rights of Muslims throughout Europe and Africa. So those rights, those are normally topics that they don't want to be talked about, and in our culture, mainly with the assertion that we have nothing to do with that. And we experience that it is on the contrary. What affects Syrians affects us. What affects Afghans affects us. What affects Iraqis affects us. So we are coming to know on the hard way, our communities, that Muslims will not go anywhere. Muslims are here to stay. The Muslim community is one of the fastest growing communities, religious communities in America. This is not that you like that to be or me like, that's a fact. So people need to really start wanting to learn, legitimately learn about us. And they're curious. And we always find those people that motivates me to do what I'm doing now. That is to defend the rights of Muslims to practice their religion. Because very early, when I started to practice my religion, the bombs that Hispanic Muslims were suffering after embracing Islam, those that embraced Islam that were Hispanics, and if you add another layer, they were imprisoned. That moved me to eventually gravitate to work in civil rights, like I'm doing with CARE Florida. Mm-hmm. And I've been, next year is going to be 20 years of me becoming Muslim, alhamdulillah. Half of those have been directly working with CARE Florida, first as an attorney and now as a communications director, but very determined that the rest of my life is going to be for the service of the Muslim community. It could be in CARE Florida for the rest of my life, but if not in CARE Florida, I don't see me doing other thing than serving the Muslim community for them to have, for our kids and our grandkids to have a better place than what we found here. And that they don't need to suffer what we have suffered here or listen from either the greatest leaders of our country, how they insult our religion, even in century 21. I hope they have a better America than the one we are inheriting. And I feel very good doing it. It's very satisfying. Putting all my knowledge my attorney's experience throughout my life, the experience as a chaplain and as a communicator for the sake of our community is really perhaps what fits me spiritually. Because it's part of, we know as Muslims that this is how we worship. That every act that we try to do on the way Allah told us to do it is as good as worship, as salah, as good as worship as any other worship. And I have found that my preferred way of worship is serving my community, serving, protecting the Muslim community, educating the Muslim community on their rights, making them stand pride for their identity, right? When they see a convert openly practicing Islam, that they don't mind looking Muslim, Muslimas or Muslim brothers or sisters. It's truly an experience, right? And that I know says a lot about Islam. I can tell you when I did Hajj, I was blessed to do Hajj in 2007. Mm. Whenever I was introduced to anyone in any store or in any circle, they stopped whatever they were talking to say, could you tell me your story about how you embrace Islam? It was of utmost exaltation to them to learn how somebody embraces Islam in America. This is nothing in my life. No, there's no other experience I can tell you about that I have experienced in my life that equates to what happened after I embraced Islam in 2003.
This is very beautiful and very motivated to see someone who not only accepted the deen, accepted this beautiful way of life, but now had that passion to continue moving forward, writing in the newspapers, educating people, sharing, because if you share, you care. If you care, you share. And you've been sharing and putting your experience to work, serving the deen, serving your creator, serving your community. I want to thank you for that. If for the Spanish-speaking audience, can you go ahead and leave us with something in this Puerto Rican Spanish language? You know,
of course. But en el nombre de Dios, Bismillah. En el nombre de Dios.
Explaining Islam in 1 minute in Spanish.
El Islam es una religión simple, muy sencilla en su credo. El credo gira alrededor de un principio que creamos que el único Dios que se debe adorar, al que se le debe agradecer y al que se debe adorar es el Creador. Y nada merece adoración, agradecimiento u oración, solo el Creador. Si esa es su creencia, usted es musulmán, porque la segunda parte de ser musulmán es aceptar que el profeta Muhammad, la paz de Dios sea con él, es solamente un hombre que fue un mensajero de Dios. Si uno acepta que Dios es uno, el creador, y que Muhammad es su profeta y mensajero, uno es musulmán, nada más. Es muy sencillo. Si esa es tu creencia, mi exhortación es que contactes a un musulmán y le digas que quieres hacer shahada y que quieres aceptar que Dios es uno y que Muhammad es su profeta y mensajero. Assalamu alaikum, la paz sea con ustedes.
One more time, we started with peace, we end with peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, la paz sea contigo. Assalamu
alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.